And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, starts off with the one who cares. Now, that's a play on words. The one who cares. Also, we'll look at a good rep. We're not talking about lifting weights. High and low, equally the same. And then we'll close it out with Count on It.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. I don't know. You know, sometimes you just want to go, maybe I need a break. Maybe I just need a break from all of the monotony of all of the minutiae so I don't have to think about it. Maybe this hour there will be a break. Yay! Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 866-577-2473-866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is technically open for conversation. Because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Stand by.
National and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Simply because your child outgrows their fireproof pajamas doesn't mean they outgrow their need for affection.
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. It's Thursday, June 29th.
If a girl isn't going to find it, like, affection from her dad, just hugs and, like, I love you so much. Oh, you look so beautiful today, you know. Thanks for being a part of my life. You know, then the girl's going to find it somewhere else, and a guy's going to say it to her if that's what she wants to hear.
When it comes to showing children affection, I've learned that it's a lot easier to hug and kiss on a chubby toddler than on a lanky, awkward teenager. But just like that young lady said, teenagers need affirmation just as much as when they were little. Once when our second child, Benjamin, was a teenager, my wife, Barbara, came up to him and gave him a big hug. After a moment, she let go. But Benjamin didn't. He held on. And so Barbara kept on hugging him. It was a good reminder to Barbara and me that our teenagers, even as young men, need more than just verbal affirmation. They need to be shown physical affection, too. One final thought. Don't be intimidated by your child's size or standoffish attitude. Deep inside, they'll appreciate a sincere hug and kiss from a loving mom or dad. I'm Dennis Rainey. I still hug my kids, and yep, that's real family life.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We got 2 hours of, going on for you. The first hour, we're going to be doing something we did one other time before. So for those that are biblically minded, for those that listen and are not, please try and enjoy as we go in this direction. But for those that are biblically minded, we're going to do something that we did just the other week. We did an entire hour talking about a character in the Bible called Titus. Remember we did the Titus review? Well, today we're doing Philemon. Now, some people say it's Philemon, but for the rest of this one, it'll be Philemon. And for those who know the joke, Philemon. Yeah, I get it. But it's Philemon, and that's the direction we're going. We're going to talk about that the next hour. Hold on to your hats, unless you're like me and bald and don't wear a hat. Dr. Mark Stengler is going to be in. He's one of the co-authors of Cult Shock. We're going to be talking about how to talk to the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses when they come to your door and go ding dong or knock knock. Also, we'll have a chance, of course, to talk to our very good friend Marty Schneider. But in this hour, we're going to be dealing with Philemon, and this material, I'm telling you, pretty interesting. But before we get to that, let's talk about our sponsor. Why, who might our sponsor be? Well, who's a big sponsor of this show? Who's been sponsoring the show for quite some time and has been giving thousands of dollars away to different ministries all over San Diego County? Sam! It's Sam. Sam Rasul. What do you know about Sam? Sam was born a Muslim and made a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ, which still is not the safest decision he's ever made in his life. He's been involved in real estate for quite some time. Number five, was it? He's originally, I said it was number eight, number five in Southern California for the Keller Williams crew. I mean, number five between L.A. and San Diego is impressive. What's the difference with Sam? Well, as I've told him on the show, it appears to me he wears his cell phone surgically attached to his head. So it doesn't seem like he ever takes a break. He's working constantly, of course, unless he's going on vacation with his family and his wife. But the idea there is that he's committed to the process, whether you're buying, whether you're selling. He likes coming out to people's houses to see what the value is and really give them a sense of not just the comparables, not just the comps, but also the effort that's been put into it and the time that's put into it. He's also committed to that selling process so much that if you need help fixing up your house, he forwards up to $25,000. And by the way, he did say this on the air, and sometimes even more, to get the house fixed up and to get it ready for selling shape. And then once it sells, he gets the money back out at the close of escrow, but doesn't charge any interest. It's just like, wow, cool. You want more info? Get in touch with Sam. ThinkSam.com. ThinkSam.com. The word think. The word Sam, put them together, it's Think Sam. ThinkSam.com or 858-780-1-SAM. 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 And if you're giving it to somebody else, you want somebody else to touch base with them, Tugboat Todd and I say,
send them to Sam.
Oh, that was a good one. That's a good one. Good job. All right, let's get into it. The very first of our material, The One Who Cares. What do we have for a sound?
Someone who cares.
All right. You're probably sitting there going, what is going on at the KPRZ studios? We have no idea. They took out our vending machine, and they're supposed to replace it. But I can tell you now, as an individual who works in this place, that not having any vending machine is draining the crew.
Don't they realize that Tugboat Todd runs on Cheez-Its?
Yes, they do not realize that, but I do understand the new one will contain a Cheez-It solid line just for you. That will be there. And it's actually supposed to say right above the little dollar amount, just for Todd. What, do you like that? I think you do. Philemon, here's what you need to know. For those that do not know, you have different people in the Bible. You have 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus, known as the pastoral epistles. Then you have Philemon. Philemon, just so you can know, is one of the four prison epistles. You ever heard that term, prison epistles? You want to know why they're called the prison epistles? Because Paul wrote them while he was in prison. Okay, I get it. That would be Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Those are the four letters that Paul wrote while he was in prison. Hence, it is part of the prison epistles, just for people to know. And this particular letter, that's what an epistle is lodged right before the book of Hebrews. It is technically the end of the Pauline epistles, and technically Hebrews is the beginning of the what they call the general epistles. Okay. The word Philemon means one who loves or one who cares. That's why the title of this is called The One Who Cares. Get it? Okay. Just wanted to make sure you got it. Here is, right off the bat, two super-duper-duper-duper cool things. And oh, by the way, if you've ever thought, well, I don't think I can ever read an entire book in the Bible. Just so you know, this book of Philemon is 25 total verses. The entire book. So if you don't got 3 minutes, there be something wrong. Here's what it starts off. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. The first thing as a prison epistle that Paul says is my dear friend. And so you can understand what Paul is doing. And in his other letters, he will say my friends, or to the saints, or to this group, or to those. When he's using a phrase like dear friend, you know that Philemon and Paul are close. This is called the expository dissecting process, okay? We're dissecting it literally line by line. And the first thing he says is, our dear friend. Like, Philemon, man, you're my buddy. I love you. And I'm for you and I'm with you. And they're going to have a little exchange. And the premise of this book, we're going to find out, has to do ultimately with forgiveness. Do you think that's an important point? I don't know. You think that receiving forgiveness is important for you and giving forgiveness to others is important for them? It is. That's actually the underlying theme of the entire book. The second verse, he says, to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Now, the first thing you have to recognize in the New Testament period, that there were not the same amount of mega churches that there are now. People have a hard time with mega churches. I don't have a hard time with mega churches. I think mega churches are fine. I think a church like Saddleback has run really well. Somebody in that staff, you know, with Rick Warren has not just one person, but multiple people have a great gift of administration, and they are able to handle that. Some churches are smaller, and I love those churches too. Here's the problem. I like a big church. I don't like a small church. Oh, I like a small church. I don't like a big church. No, you prefer those. You don't dislike the other churches because other people like them. Other people like big churches. Other people like small churches. This is not a problem. That's my German way of saying this is not a problem. This is not a problem. Why? Because it doesn't matter. There's churches that meet in people's homes. Guess what? That's not a big church. There's churches that meet in shopping malls. Guess what? That's not a big deal. You know the Holy Spirit? Amazingly, I don't know how, but the Holy Spirit can still go into a shopping center. Wow. There's a couple of churches that are... I mean, you know, you go to South Korea and you go to Pastor Cho's church, they have a football field, right? Runs 9 services in a row. That's why they have 540,000 members have attached their name to it. That's kind of big, right? If you're on his pastoral staff, by the way, you have to be committed to pray 3 hours every day or you can't be on his staff. That's a big responsibility right there. 3 hours. I'm impressed when I do 30 minutes. 3 hours? Wow. Here's the point. The point is God loves all of that. Not something that's not a problem. You might not have a personal preference, but the church of God is not exactly what you and I say the church of God is. The church of God is God's church, right? We're just a part of it. And if you like little churches, cool. You like big churches, cool. This particular group met in a house. So it's a smaller church, and that's really appropriate for this epistle, because as when we come back, we're going to see just how intimate Paul gets in having a discussion with his friend Philemon. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
What can you do to create a healthy relationship with your daughter? Dr. James Dobson gives us six suggestions. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. On his website, Dr. James Dobson's FamilyTalk.org, Dobson says there are many times a parent's authority will be challenged. He writes, "In those times, it is extremely important for you to win." The reason? A child who behaves in ways that are disrespectful or harmful to herself or others often has a hidden motive. Whether she recognizes it or not, she is usually seeking to verify the existence and stability of the boundaries. So he offers how-tos of shaping a child's will. First, begin teaching respect for authority while children are very young, in the preschool years. Second, define the boundaries before they are enforced. Preceding any disciplinary event is the necessity of establishing reasonable expectations and boundaries for the child. Third, distinguish between willful defiance and childish irresponsibility. When accidents happen, patience and tolerance are the order of the day. Fourth, reassure and teach after the confrontation is over. By all means, open your arms and welcome her. Fifth, avoid impossible demands. Be absolutely sure that your child is capable of delivering what you require. And finally, let love be your guide. A relationship that is characterized by genuine love and affection is likely to be a healthy one. How would you describe your health care? The word affordable probably is not the first word that comes to mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Down on my knees. What am I doing here?
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I'm warning you, next hour, I'm telling you right now, Mark Stengler is going to be coming in. Don't worry, you've been warned. Kolchak, we did a teaching on Jehovah's Witnesses yesterday about their inability to understand the name of God concept. We'll get into it in a little while, but before we get there, let's talk about the things that are right on the edge of my head. Wait, is that a bug on my head? I'm glad this is brought to you by E. coli Termite and Pest Control. Powerful termite and pest control is gentle as a butterfly. Okay. E.coli.termite.com. E.coli.termite.com. 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. My wife got a message on her voicemail yesterday. Now, I'm pretty good. You know, I talk a lot. Actually, I don't tell you half the things that I think that's appropriate. You should only know what you need to know on a lot of these things. But she got a phone call from somebody. It was a recording. You go to jail if you don't dismember and pay fine for this is the police. All right. If you get a robocall that somebody owes back taxes, we talked about this before. But if you get a robocall, somebody owes back taxes, and your city police are getting ready to knock on your door and come visit you. Number one, if you're listening to me and you are a person of age 2 to 102, it's a lie. Never, ever, ever respond to those things. The IRS does not leave recordings, period. Everything they do is through United States Mail, United States Postal Service, so that it has a government track. That's just the first thing. The second thing is when you get a robocall and your Spanish teacher's great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather's English, this is before America, was 10 times better than those robocalls, I'm pretty sure you can go, what? These are people in the Ukraine who have not yet learned that we actually have a language. And they're using a Google translator, which doesn't translate perfectly. So there was no slight to anybody in my discussion there. It's quite simply, these are people in foreign countries who just, and you know, sometimes I have done this. I confess. So one of them left me a message about a month ago. I called them back 20 times in a row. Every time they answered, I go, how can you live with yourself? How do you sleep at night? And then they hang up. And one guy said, calling us is illegal. I thought that was rather funny. He's like, calling you is illegal. Wow. Anyway, that's what's bugging me. Do you like that one? That's a good one.
That was a good one.
That was a good one. All right. Let's get into the next portion of our discussion. A good rep. A good
we
rep. All right, so that's the we represent, get it? The lollipop. See where that connection is? You're thinking, well, what? How does Tugboat Todd come up with that? Well, unfortunately for him, his mind is pretty much warped like mine. So that's how he comes up with it. Here is our next section in the Book of Philemon. We already talked about the fact that he is one who cares and one who loves, and that God loves small churches. And then Paul, talking to Philemon, good friend, very dear friend, not just friend. I like that. Verse 3, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers because I hear about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. You know what Philemon had? He had a good reputation. Now, is that important? Not when it comes to worldly images and marketing. Then it's only important because of money. Or power, or fame. But in Christian circles, a good reputation means this, that if somebody is hurting, they can contact you. If somebody needs prayer, they can get in touch with you. If somebody is in a spot and they need to unload, you're a person that they can do that with. That is a good reputation. Not, I can make money off a magazine just sells advertisement because their whole existence is about making money. But in the church frame, if you're trying to be a genuine servant, it's not that you're going to do everything perfect, because I can guarantee you many people have tried and failed that. Only Jesus was perfect and sinless. But Philemon had a good rep. So you can get in touch with Philemon. You can count that guy right there. Cool. And you always need to either be that person, try to be that person, or certainly know that person so that you can have a place to go. That's just important. Verse 6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so you will have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. We've mentioned this before just recently. Sharing your faith strengthens your faith. But why? Because when you speak what God has done in you, you reinforce it in your own ears. When you say, oh, the Lord got me out of this mess, you know who heard that? You did. Twice, one in your left ear and one in your right. And it reinforces your faith and strengthens you. That's why
biblical confession is important. We'll talk about that, I think, next week. But understand, when you share with people, you're reinforcing, you're cementing it in your own existence. So sharing your faith strengthens your faith. And he makes mention that Paul's like going, you be active in sharing your faith. You'll have that full understanding of everything that's good that's in Jesus. Oh, that sounds so awesome. And then he says this. He says, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Oh, see, this is where the Bible turns to gold and people don't maybe recognize it. Verse 7, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Oh, I love it. First of all, for those that don't know, Barnabas, the word Barnabas means encouragement. And Philemon had a Barnabas-type spirit. He was into encouraging people, lifting people up. You know, it's easy to be a Christian that tears people down. Now, you're not being a good Christian. It's just easy to get into the finding fault mode. And I have found that people that find fault with other people are typically not happy with themselves. So they project that onto other people and pick other people apart so they can feel better about themselves. It's a fact. Nobody's going to change that. But Philemon was not of that mindset and not of that spirit. Paul said, your love has given me great joy and encouragement because, brother, you've refreshed the hearts of the saints. Instead of bringing people down, Philemon was about lifting people up. And if you could capsulize Philemon's life and ministry and then put yourself next to it, that would be the paragraph or that would be the portion I would use. Are you a person that when other people encounter you, when other Christians encounter you, they feel that you lift them up or bring them down? Which one? There's no middle. You're either lifting up or putting down. And you just got to decide, well, I want to be like this or I'm like this. If you feel like you're a person that brings people down more, it's not the end of the world. You need to pray that God will help you lift people up. If you're a person that genuinely feels you lift people up, you need to pray that God will help you do that more so that you can be an encourager. You can be a brother or a sister who refreshes the hearts of the saints. And that's what you want to be. And that's how we ought to be. I mean, that is our call. That is our purpose, is to strengthen. That's all into that, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. I mean, that is the core. One day we'll dive back into that and show you how that really had to do with the Christian community more than just general neighbors. We'll deal with that later. But I promise we'll deal with that in a theological basis. But here's what I'm going to say. Philemon had a good reputation. He was encouraged by Paul to share his faith because that faith would strengthen him. And he was a Barnabas-type Christian because he went around refreshing people and lifting people up. Don't you already want to be more like Philemon before you've even walked out the door? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Look out. Is this another real estate bubble? Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. The answer? I don't know. No one really knows. But here's what we do know. Home prices go up and home prices go down. We also know that right now, home prices are way up. This could be a great time to cash in and get top dollar for your home. If you're considering selling and want to know what your home is really worth, call me now. There's no cost or obligation. I'll come out and give you a real home pricing evaluation. You don't have to hire me. Just give me a chance to earn your business. Or maybe you know someone considering a move. Send them my way. I'm a brother brother in Christ, and I always donate to ministry at closing on behalf of my K-Praise clients. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just go to thinksam.com, thinksam.com.
We live out our faith through our good deeds.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Amy Boucher Pye. Amy writes, "As a friend drove to the grocery store, she noticed a woman walking along the side of the road and felt she should turn the car around and offer her a ride. When she did, she was saddened to hear that the woman didn't have money for the bus, so she was walking home many miles in the hot and humid weather. Not only was she making the long journey home, but she also had walked several hours that morning to arrive at work by 4 a.m. Amy continues, "By offering a ride, my friend put into practice in a modern setting James' instruction for Christians to live out their faith with their deeds. James chapter 1 says, 'Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead.' He was concerned that the church take care of the widows and orphans, and he also wanted them to not rely on empty words, but to act on their faith with deeds of love. We are saved by faith, not works, but we live out our faith by loving others and caring for their needs. May we, like my friend who offered the ride, keep our eyes open for those who might need our help as we walk together in this journey of life." We hope these daily programs inspire you to go deeper in studying God's Word. For additional resources and encouragement, download the Our Daily Bread ebook and mobile app. Prefer a print copy? We'll gladly send one your way for no cost or obligation. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement is provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. This segment brought to you by our very good friend Steve Wheeler and his ministry that he works for and with and is a part of, like how he used all those, Whitefields Ministries. This comes out of the Gospel of John chapter 4, verse 35. And what they do at Whitefields Ministry is take the gospel to the four corners of the earth. They help rural pastors with high-level education, seminary-level education support. It's not costing those pastors anything, but they want to make sure they're teaching correctly, teaching biblically. SoCal Seminary, by the way, is connected to that, so that's kind of cool. They also support those pastors financially and spiritually and emotionally and probably psychologically, would be fair to say, as well as when they are encountering different villages, as they do, who have no systems of clean drinking water. They go in there and help them with these wells by creating these roofs that capture the rainwater. In some of these places, it rains 320 out of 365 days, and it takes the water from the roof, puts it into a well. It funnels through this well that is a filter system and provides clean drinking water for the people that live there and the village. It's like, okay. How could you not do that? It's fantastic. We encourage people to participate in prayer and in financial donation and in just thinking about it. You have to like just thinking about it. I love what Paul says. I mentioned you in prayer. It's like it's a saving moment in prayer. Oh, yeah, Lord, don't forget about these people. It's not like the Lord's going to forget, but it's good for us to have them on these people on our hearts, praying and caring for them. Whitefields.org. Whitefields.org. Again, out of the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 35, both in the King James and the New American Standard, for those who are trying to figure it out. Their phone number, 760-846-8610. 760-846-8610. Please participate in any capacity as you are comfortable. Right? All right. We're going into our next segaruni. That is Yiddish and Italian for segment. We've been talking about Philemon, and Philemon, for those that do not know, means the one to one who loves or the one who cares. And we've been discussing some of his characteristics as is defined by the letter that Paul wrote to Philemon, one of the prison epistles. It was Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon that Paul wrote in prison. So it's noted as one of the prison epistles, just for those who need to know. We discuss some of the characteristics of the letter, because the only references to Philemon are actually in this letter. Some of the other people in the Bible, they're referred to throughout in different letters or in Acts and different places. Not Philemon. This is it. Boom. Everything we got's right here. Tradition may be good, but it's not scripture, so we need to be careful. So we understand that Paul called him a dear friend, and that there was, with the group that he was with, they had a church, and it was in a house. So what do we say about that? Probably not an enormous church. Probably smaller. This guy had, Philemon had a great reputation. Paul encouraged him to share his faith, and then he was an encourager, spending his ministry time trying to lift people up, not trying to bring people down. So I'm going to read this portion, and I got to get to this kind of quick, so please follow along as I go through this. This is Philemon, verse 8. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, appeal to you for Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he's become useful both to you and to me, and I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so he can take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. That's the prison part. Onesimus. Doesn't that name sound familiar? People are going, Onesimus, Onesimus. That sounds familiar. Aha! Steve Wheeler and Whitefields Ministries was coming in for an interview at the same time that Dr. James Fazio was doing a recording right next to my studio with a gentleman named Onesimus. I'm like, what? That's how Steve Wheeler and Onesimus met, and now Onesimus is an extension of Whitefield's Ministries. That's why that's so cool. It's like, oh, wait, this is like all like, wow, it's like together. Let's understand from the scriptural point of view Onesimus and what was going on. Onesimus was Philemon's slave who ran away. And by the way, a biblical slave is not an American slave. It doesn't matter what anybody tells you. Just go, because they don't have any clue what they're talking about. In the times of Bible, the way that it would work is the servanthood would be much more of a worker foreman relationship. The person who was called biblically a slave was a person who could own property, homes, have multiple connections, relationships, didn't have travel restrictions, none of that. There was nothing like that. There was not a segregation like there was between the Egyptians and the Jews. There was nothing like that. What they created in America was an abomination of the biblical way things were going, as they've done in many things in America, especially people going around calling themselves Christians who don't even know Jesus, which that's just a whole nother, 12 shows in a row. But let's get back to it. Onesimus, he ran away, and we ran away from Philemon. And when he ran away, he ran into Paul in some capacity, and then he became a Christian. And it's like, oh, so now everybody's thinking, oh, he's a bad guy. He ran away. Yeah, except it seems like the Lord sent him away so that he would get faith. And so he becomes a Christian. And now that Paul and Onesimus have kind of worked together, he's like, yeah, you got to go back to Philemon, dude. You can't just leave him hanging. That's not cool. You just walked out of your job and left him. And you got to go back. Now, here's where you have to catch it. What Paul said to him is, if he owes you anything, I'll pay you, which is the indicator in this letter. It's meaning that it's likely Onesimus stole something. Like, he took money. Like, hey, here's some money, I'm going to go. And so he leaves, and Paul's like going, look, if he owes you anything, I'll pay it. That's what's going on. Philemon was much more likely to be pretty wealthy because he had a house and he had servants, and the people that were in the better positions had that going on. But this is the story. And then Paul says this, I don't want to do anything without your consent so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced.
hint, hint, for those that try to manipulate people to do things as opposed to letting people do them because they should or want to. Perhaps the reason he was separated you for a little while is that you might have him back for good. No longer a slave, but better than a slave, a dear brother. And he's very dear to me and even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. This is a lot of Paul dropping his reputation in the situation. He's standing by Onesimus and going, look, Philemon, the guy ran away. He did bad. He took stuff. It's not good. But I'm telling you, he's changed. He's made a decision for Jesus Christ. He went away as somebody who was in your service. Now he's coming back as a brother. It's completely different, and you need to give him the space. That's what the whole letter's about. That's it. You just got it. I mean, that's the big thing right there. Just think about how, you know, Paul he considers him a partner. He says, you know, Philemon, you're like my partner. You know how important a partner is in business? It's crucial. And Paul honors Philemon by acknowledging his value as a partner and a friend and a brother. Even though Paul himself was in a much higher church position, Paul didn't treat Philemon any different. It doesn't matter whether you're high or low. It's equal at the same, because in the church, the spiritual position doesn't mean you're more important than. That's the key. So Paul's like, hey, Philemon, I know so. Onesimus did this. And oh, come on, man. And then he says in verse 8, if he's done anything wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I'm writing this with my own hand. I'll pay it back. And then he drops this little thing in. Not to mention, you owe me your very self. That's kind of a nice way of Paul going, not to say that you owe me $1 billion, dude. It's like, you know, it's a nice way to say, hey, you owe me anyway. This is what Paul's appeal is. Listen to that. The way that Paul approaches this and the great teaching out of Philemon is there's redemption when a person becomes a Christian. They become a new person. And those that are a part of those salvation decisions, we need to stand by. New person taking effect inside somebody. I'm going to say this, just go an extra 30 seconds on this, but when I was a pastor, there was a young man who committed a crime, and it was a bad thing, and he knew it, and he came in, and he confessed, and we talked about it, and he made a decision for Jesus Christ, right? A great decision for Jesus Christ. Serious, sincere. So, after some time, when he had a court case, I wrote exactly what happened to the judge. The judge read it. The judge was more lenient than maybe you would think. And to this day, 10 years later, that guy has been whistle clean, taking care of his family and doing things right. Because when people get saved, they change. That's why. All right, we take a short break and come back with the final on this portion. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
If you're over the age of 50 and considering buying an annuity in the next 60 days, I have some important news for you. Don't buy an annuity until you understand the pros and cons of annuities. A free book to help you maximize your retirement income from television host and three-time author Josh Melberg has been released. This book reveals little-known truths about annuity strategies in simple-to-understand terms. Grab a pen right now, because we are about to offer you this free book that unlocks the five little-known secrets we believe baby boomers and seniors should know before buying an annuity. Call 800-725-1616 now and you'll receive a free copy of Josh Milberg's book, Next Gen Annuity Strategies Revealed. As a bonus, we'll also send you a copy of The Number One Mistakes Retirees Are Making With Their Investments Today and a free DVD on how you can get up to 33% more income in retirement. Call 800-725-1616. That's 800-725-1616. Employees of J.D. Milberg Financial have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer.
Now, the gospel of Christ has no meaning unless it is applied to our fellow man who hurts and is in need.
Billy Graham, talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan.
A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead.
As the story goes, two people passed by that half dead man and did not stop to help him. But a third person did stop to help. He bandaged the man's wounds and took care of him.
He didn't just love him and leave him. Jesus doesn't just love us, but he died on the cross and he died for us and for you. Christianity is good news that you can be forgiven and that you can make a commitment to someone who will love you and go with you from here tonight to help you change your way of life.
Are you ready to make that change by following Jesus Christ? We can tell you how at findpeacewithgod.net from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
This is David Davenport of the Hoover Institution for townhall.com. A new survey by the Fund for American Studies reminds us that millennials do not understand economics. The same group that does not know basic civics, such as who is their senator or whether Judge Judy is on the Supreme Court, also doesn't know how free markets work. While 60% of millennials said they would choose liberty over security, in turn 54% want more government, not less. A majority of even Republicans and conservatives believe government should regulate oil and drug company prices and place tariffs on goods coming from overseas. This survey is described as a freedom index, but millennials really favor more government regulation. I suppose it's no surprise that young people who've grown up knowing nothing but big government fail to see the connection between more government regulation and less freedom. Young people who value freedom in their personal and social lives need to understand that political and economic freedoms are necessary to sustain that. I'm David Davenport.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Quick reminder, you want to reach the show, you can send an email, davidspoon@kprz.com. Another way to get a hold of us is to stand outside in your front yard and go, "Hey, Abet." I'm not going to answer that, but you can do it. It'd be really funny. Your neighbors would appreciate it anyway. So we've been talking about Philemon, and for those that are from the other side of the country, it's Philemon, and for those that know the joke, it's Philemon. We'll move on from that and just call him Philemon and make it easier. We've been discussing that the letter to Philemon is one of the prison epistles, which was the Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon when Paul wrote them while he was in prison. That's why they call them the prison epistles. And we covered some of the characteristics of Philemon. He was a dear friend of Paul. He had a great reputation. He was a Barnabas type of guy, encouraging people. And then we threw out that challenge. Are you an uplifter of people or a putter-downer of people? You don't want to be a putter-downer of people. One thing to stand for the truth and faith, and you know that because we're going to have Cult Shock and we're going to have one of the authors on in about a segment or so. But for brothers and sisters, most people that pick on other brothers and sisters are having a problem with themselves, inside themselves, and in order to make them feel better, they just try to pick apart other people. That's not a good idea. That's really called immature more than anything else. And then we also brought up the reality, talked about Onesimus and how he fit into the whole story and the whole reason why Paul was writing Philemon. And then Paul brings down this letter with what some consider the most intimate writings that Paul has ever created, that he's ever written. He says, quite simply, after he mentions that he considers Philemon a partner, he says this. This is really cool stuff. He said, "I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. One more thing, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, and my fellow workers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Here, Paul, talking not to a church, but to an individual, goes, "Yeah, I'm looking to hang out with you. I'm looking to kind of crack through, get through this stuff, and come out and make a bed for me. I'm coming." It's like, what? So everybody thinks of the Apostle Paul, and they think he's wearing a hat and he's got a stick and he's wearing some kind of holy prophet shoes. And it's like, okay, this was a guy, and he had other friends, and he had ministry on his mind, and he was looking to take a break and hang out at Philemon's place. What does that tell you about Philemon? You know, the house that you want to go to, that's because that person is totally cool. That's what Philemon was. Yeah, I'm going to go hang out at your place. So get that thing together. Dust off that, you know, that hammock, whatever it was. And he's very intimate, very close to Philemon in this letter. It's just probably one of the most wonderful, close elements. He does say in here, you know, I'm so confident. You know, I know you're going to do even more than I ask, which tells you that Philemon, out of all those other things, was reliable. Yeah, you're going to do even more than I ask you. I can count on you, dude. You're the one I can count on. That's why I'm kind of dropping this your way and looking for that. And he's asking Philemon to take a certain kind of action based on expectation. Well, I'm praying to come to you, so I'm expecting to come to you, which I kind of like, because most Christians pray and they, you know, dribbles down the side of their mouth and they're just hoping God says yes. And, well, maybe I'll spin the bottle, see if it says yes. And it's like, that's not how prayer works. You know, there is this expectation level when you pray. If there wasn't, then how did you get saved? I'm just saying. Oh, Lord, save me. I hope you say yes here. I hope, you know, it's like, come on. I thought prayer was that level of expectation where, you know, it's like the early church when they prayed for Peter to get out of prison. Then Peter gets out of prison. He knocks on the door. They go, oh, it's not Peter. But didn't you just pray that? Yes. Oh, okay. We'll leave him outside while we debate it. So the idea is to understand that the kind of person Philemon was, and Scripture does this on purpose, because there's no other citations in Scripture about Philemon. It's all contained in this letter. Everything we draw out of him comes from this letter. So there's no 2 Corinthians reference in chapter 16 with the last 9 verses where Paul talks about all these different people. And there's no reference. So you're pulling it out of the letter. Out of this letter, we found out this guy's great. I mean, he's got a good reputation. He strengthens the faith of believers. He's an encourager. You know, Paul is expecting him to take Onesimus back, even though Onesimus might have taken something. Even if he owes you money, I'll pay you back. And Paul's like, you know what? And you're my partner. And even though Paul was an apostle, Philemon's a guy that's an individual. But that's not how Paul treated him. Not that we should treat one another as brothers and sisters. That's the whole idea. And then Paul's really intimate by saying, hey, I'm going to come hang out at your house. And then closes it down by saying, I'm appreciative that you're not just reliable, but you're going to do more than I'm even asking you. And that's what I can count on. And then, of course, Paul closes it out with his classic, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. At the end of all of Paul's epistles, and again, epistle is not the wife of an apostle, but a letter. At the end of those epistles, Paul's always mentioning grace. Because you can go through all this stuff and you hear what Paul says and you're like going, yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah, I'm not even close to that. Yeah, that's about 15 miles away. That one might be a little closer. But that's why at the end of all of them, he's like going, grace, you know, because at the end of the day, you won't do all this stuff perfect. He didn't do all this stuff perfect. But grace is a big part of everything that we function in. It needs to be a part of our functionalities. That, my friends, is Philemon. In a brief review. That's kind of fun, huh? You learned a little bit. And
awesome.
Yeah, and 25 verses. If you can't read a book in the Bible, 25 verses, 4 minutes, put the TV guide down. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You're going to take a short break. You're going to hear Marty. We're going to come back. Our in-studio guest, Mark Stengler, Kolchak, don't go anywhere.
Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.